What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, Shireen!
Today is another episode with just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Yeah, we're doing something special. We asked for you guys' questions on the internet, and we're going to answer them for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talk about The Last Dance, and then we get into some questions, and it's a really good time. And we hope you guys enjoy.
Yes, we do. Enjoy.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, Shireen.
How are you today?
I am good. You know, glad to do another tour episode with you. That's a two-person episode.
Yeah, we're actually recording this episode the day that our recent solo episode came out. And we've gotten so much nice feedback about how much you guys missed us, just like talking and chatting. So we really appreciate you guys giving us positive reinforcement. It helps us out, keeps us going. And we're glad that you guys enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, we would have had a guest on today, but unfortunately no guests were available.
Yeah.
So we decided to last minute say fuck it. Let's ask if you guys have any questions for us and do a Q&A episode.
Yeah, I think these kind of interactions can be fun, and maybe this can be the first of many of these episodes, because I personally really like having that direct interaction with you guys. So we posted on all our medias, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter, if you guys have any questions. And we compiled a list of everything. So this can be maybe one of the first of maybe another or many Q&A episodes. Should we?
Many of QAnon episodes. Just kidding. QAnon. What if we just got into conspiracies?
Yeah. But I mean, like, I thought of this idea because I feel like I when I watch YouTube, I really like when
YouTube.
Like YouTubers, like, I don't know, just... I don't know. I like the ones where they answer spicy questions. We didn't get any spicy ones, but maybe next time.
Spicy one.
Should we?
How would you feel if you got a spicy one? I'd be like, what?
I mean, I guess spicy is very vague, but I mean, I don't know. We got some good ones. Like, I really like the ones that came in. But should we shoot the shit before we get going, or should we just get right into it? Should we talk about The Last Dance?
Yeah, let's talk about The Last Dance.
Yeah. Well, by the time this comes out, it would have been long over, but the season finale, the episode 10, just came out last night. So
yeah.
Did you guys enjoyed it.
You finish it?
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah.
What a great time to be alive. And can I just say that shit? It shook me to my core.
Mm-hmm.
Because from about 95, some of my earliest memories, like 95 to 98, when Jordan was playing with, you know, like the Dream Bulls lineup, basically the team.
Dream team. Yeah.
Well, the Dream Team refers to the Olympic team.
But I mean, yeah, you're right. I know what you mean. Yeah.
In this, like, just the great Bulls team, like Rodman, Pippen, when they finally all came together, Kerr, I guess that was like closer to the end, but like, I remember watching these games live with my dad and brother, like just like male family members, family friends. Like we were all, I was like hanging out with them and I remember it, and I was really into basketball. And that final game of the 97 finals where, what's his name? Jordan.
What's or, his
excuse
name?
Me, Bulls is, you know, I only care about Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen.
Of course.
But
of
the
course.
Bulls are playing the Utah Jazz. I remember watching it, that it's the second to last play where Scottie Pippen's running. He trips, right? He falls and he loses the ball. And Kukov grabs the ball last minute and goes up and scores the layoff.
Yeah.
A layout. Yeah. A layup, not a layout. And I remember watching that live. And to give you guys some context, my dad, the first place he came to in America was Utah, to go to college in Utah. So my dad has this weird, undying love for the Utah Jazz, okay? So my dad is out here cheering for the Utah Jazz. He doesn't understand why we don't fuck with the Utah Jazz. Like, I have this memory of my dad, literally I can see it. His hands are up in the air and he goes, "Why don't you support the Utah Jazz? They're the team that's closest to you." And we're all like, I remember like my brother screaming, "Fuck the Jazz." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna scream it too, fuck the Jazz." And my dad being like, "What the fuck? Why do you guys want the Bulls to win so far?" We were like, "Do you not understand what we're witnessing? We're witnessing history."
Yeah.
And we're all cheering. I remember our family friend Fareed was there. Like, we were all so pumped. And like, when Pippen fell, and we were like, "What the fuck is about to happen?" And Kukov just swoops it.
They played like, that. They played that clip in the episode. I really like that.
Yeah. And when I saw that in the episode, like, I was like, "Oh!" I made my boyfriend rewind it so we could watch it again, because I was like, "You don't understand." Like, that was a very important. Like, I remember it to this day. That moment, like, being like, "Oh my fucking god, what's about to happen?"
Yeah.
Like, are they going to lose this game? I remember telling my dad, "Fuck Karl Malone." We still text my dad, "Fuck Karl Malone," to this day, to fuck with him. And, you know, we gave him shit when the Jazz were the first to test positive for coronavirus. Like, this isn't that moment, like, has stemmed a long running bit in our family where we fuck with our dad for his like of the Utah Jazz. And it's to this day, we still do it. We still do it. And I grimace when I hear the name John Stockton. It's just Pavlovian for me. I'm always like, fucking John Stockton.
Yeah, I associate basketball with my dad a lot. Like, we grew up watching it's pretty nice to realize that, like, when an immigrant comes to a city, they will be so proud of their city or like their environment. Like, my dad, he landed in LA. It wasn't the first city he landed in, but it was the first city that it felt like home because the weather reminded him of Syria. And he has always been obsessed with the Lakers. And so when we were growing up, we were watching the Lakers really religiously. He was so obsessed, but the Bulls were seen as like the enemy team. And so I didn't really grow up appreciating Michael Jordan until I was pretty much like a lot later, because I was like growing up with like Shaq, and I was obsessed with Shaq. I was obsessed with Kobe, Shaq in particular. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Kazam, but I was obsessed with Kazam. I just thought he was so funny. And I just like watching him on the court. And I really liked, but I do remember when they would play the Lakers, when we would watch the Bulls. We talked about this last week, or the last solo episode we did, but like, I always loved Dennis Rodman because he was such an outlier. But that was my only really association with the Bulls. And so I think The Last Dance, I think it's an amazing documentary and just like an artifact of like, it's just so good. Even if you don't like basketball, I think anyone would enjoy watching this like legacy of a team. Like, it changed the world. Michael Jordan changed the fucking world just by existing and being an amazing basketball player. Like, that's, I don't know. It's a phenomenal piece of filmmaking. It's so good.
It's pretty wild. But, it's like wild times, but it makes me happy to watch it. Like, a lot of it is so interesting. I mean, and it's also, again, so interesting that it's such a like Jordan produced project, because it doesn't really touch on the politics of the situation a lot, like how the Black players were treated differently and spoken about differently than the white players. And like a lot, I mean, it would have been an interesting discussion, but again, as we know, it's like, it's, and I hate to say it, it's like, Jordan knows better than to like question the like systematic racist world he lives in, you know, like he just doesn't do it.
He doesn't comment
on it.
And he does mention that a little bit in one of the earlier episodes when he got under fire for not supporting a Black politician that was running against a very racist one.
Sharina, Republicans buy Nikes too, so.
Exactly. But I remember seeing that, and I can't deny that, like, I kind of lost respect for him in that moment too. I'm glad that he kept it in the documentary, because I'm pretty sure he had like Final Cut essentially. But yeah, like no one's perfect. And I think especially when you're a Black athlete, let alone like a Black, like one of the most famous person in the world, you're put under a different lens. And I really appreciated when they talked about that kind of a little bit in depth. They did get into that just like for a moment in an episode, and I appreciated it because there's a standard that like African Americans and or just Black people in general are under, let alone if you're like under scrutiny the entire time. And I just really respect him for a lot of reasons, maybe not in that moment, but in general, just seeing him really handle that level of fame and always having a camera in his face at all times, and like he was always genuine and kind to reporters and fans. I don't know.
Not always. He's had his moments.
Actually, that's a good point. Hasan Minhaj has a pretty good story about that.
Yeah.
But I did come out of this really respecting him immensely, and also understanding why someone would act out because of the kind of life he had and has currently. But what I'm interested in, I want to see a Phil Jackson documentary very badly. I think his life is fascinating.
The Zen Master.
Yeah. I would watch the shit out of that.
I think it's really funny. It's not really funny. It's actually pretty fucked up. Like, what the fandom of Jordan did to his children. Like, they were like, we don't go to games. Like, that shit's too loud. We were young. We were freaked out by it. Like, they don't fuck with that.
Yeah. I like
and
that
why
they were
would
in
they?
The, yeah, I like that they were in the documentary for literally maybe 6 seconds. And then they said that one line, and then they were like, they peaced out.
But that's things like we didn't I think Jordan likes to protect them. Like we didn't need their input to understand what like the story was, you know? And it's like if it's best to protect your children because you are the most famous person, then why not? Like you don't have to put them through that.
I did. Yeah. There was a moment in the documentary that I kind of wished he was touching on his like personal life more. Like it's just because I'm genuinely curious, like who he decided to spend his life with, like who was his first wife? How was it like being a father and a husband and being an amazing athlete? Like I was curious about those facets of his life, but I can also appreciate wanting to keep all of it private. But I think that element of not addressing it was very obvious that Jordan had a hand in like every part of the production.
Well, I thought it's a really great thing. I discovered this last week where Jordan only chose to release these because The Last Dance, remember, they filmed this all during that final season. A lot of it, like in the earlier seasons, a lot of like found footage, but you know, it's Jordan. There was constantly always a camera on him, so it's not like it was impossible to find footage of him from that era. But Jordan only decided to release this footage because in 2016, what's his name? LeBron. It was during the 2016 parade for the Cavs after they had won the final. And it was their championship parade. And during that parade, fucking Jordan was like, release the tapes.
Yep.
Let's make sure LeBron knows who was the fucking best. And I know, the funniest bit that's been going around on the internet is just the fact that it's like everything he says, he's like, and that's all I needed. And that's all I needed.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to destroy. Like his whole, just the energy he puts into being like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you just spite me in even the remotely smallest way?
He's the king of petty. He is the king of petty.
I am about to show. I am about to show you a defeat like you've never experienced. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck?
Like one wrong glance, one joke. Like if someone makes a joke at his expense, he destroys them. It's
amazing.
It's very powerful.
It's really amazing.
It's like. There's like a couple. I like the idea of this documentary exposing everyone that's ever been on his list.
Yeah,
this list of people. That I know fucking,
it's
like,
a
destroyed.
True list. He's yeah. got a fucking list where he's like yeah. Isaiah Thompson, go fuck yourself, list. Or yeah. Isaiah Thomas, not Thompson, different yeah. person. Isaiah Thomas, go fuck yourself. Which, yeah. in my opinion, after doing research on Isaiah Thomas, I was like, you know what? I also do not fuck with yeah. Isaiah Thomas. Thank True. You for bringing me into the light, Jordan. Because at first yep. I was like, damn, like are we just like waiting for like the God Jordan to tell us who we do and don't fuck with? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, after a long research. Yes, yeah. I understand why the Lord Jordan has agreed that we do not fuck with Isaiah Thomas.
But I will say, after watching a couple episodes of The Last Dance, I watched the 30 for 30 episode of Dennis Rodman. It's called For Better or Worse. I highly recommend, if you're a Rodman fan, you watch it. It's not a perfect documentary. There are some parts that were kind of like just annoying directorially and like visually, just like all these like weird reenactments. But In that episode, Isaiah Thomas is in it, and I had no idea him and Rodman were so close. And so I came out of The Last Dance not liking Thomas, and then I watched the 30 for 30 episode, and I was like, well, maybe there's like a side to him that's redeemable if he cared for Dennis Rodman so much and they had like this beautiful friendship. So that was like the one little sliver of like, maybe he's not all bad, but then I think I'm back with Jordan.
He's got some... I mean, I don't want to... burst any bubbles. I mean, I understand why they were friends, because they played on the show. What was the team called? They
Pistons?
Played on the Pistons together. Pistons. I never remember that team's name.
I mean, it's a stupid name. No offense to anyone that likes the Pistons.
Shereen.
But I mean, Shereen, I
come on.
I didn't anyway, do a deep dive on Thomas.
Yeah. He had a suit against him in 2003 about some sexual harassment stuff. So he's had some problems in the past, yeah. and also he like bankrupt the I forget the team he was. Sorry, I googled. I went deep on my Isaiah Thomas mm-hmm. research, which is why I decided I wasn't fucking with him. But
yeah. I'm with you. I trust your deep dive. I agree with you, but and I agree with Jordan.
I'm glad he was a friend to yeah. Rodman, because Rodman deserved a good friend. But yeah. There's certain things.
Rodman's a very special person, so I think. I don't know. I feel like he's just a very fascinating person. So I recommend the documentary. But let's end the basketball stuff, I suppose. I will say, I just realized the reason why, because I grew up loving the Lakers and associating Phil Jackson with the Lakers, this was really interesting to watch, because it was like getting to see what Phil Jackson was doing before. I realized, like, because I didn't know who Phil Jackson was pre-Lakers, you know what I mean? Like, that yeah. was, I associate Phil Jackson with fucking Lakers stardom, but seeing his like fucking legacy with the Bulls, I mean, it was everything. But I'm waiting for that Phil Jackson doc.
You should read his book.
I should. It's I really good. Should. Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed the sports
real quick
chat.
I want to know if you saw that tweet where someone's like, and then Phil Jackson went and joined the Lakers and lived happily ever after. And it's a photo of him, Kobe, and Shaq with a championship trophy. Mm-hmm. So that was funny.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Also, I want to recommend, if you love Shaq, you should go watch his show, Shaq.
I do watch it sometimes. I don't
it's
watch it all
so
the time,
funny.
But I should. I should.
I love that Samuel L. Jackson narrates it. It's
yeah.
so funny.
You
I don't know why it really
before.
Gets me.
No, you've recommended it to me before, and I just associate Shaq with like really fond memories of like watching basketball with my dad, and like I watched that movie Kazam so many times, and it's like an objectively not good movie, and I really want to see it as an adult, but it's just so fun. But yeah, before we get to a break, should we knock out a question or two?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. So I compiled all the questions. We're going to start with Instagram. Our first question is from Maha Faruqi. Apologies if I mispronounced it. But she asked us, how have you found this Ramadan as people with complex relationships with faith? You want to answer first?
You can answer. I'll think about
it. Okay. Well, I grew up fasting until I was 18 or 19. And I remember when I was in college, for example, my first year in college, I had a post-it note with every time, like with the sunset times for each day. And I would put it on my laptop to remember, even though at the time I didn't think I believed in anything. I was kind of doing it out of respect. But I don't believe in anything anymore. And I would say I have a complex relationship with faith. And this Ramadan in particular feels weird because usually we would at least see our families and Ramadan would be about gathering and food. And it's just the most beautiful time to be with your family, like every night, and eat dates and lentil soup. And my mom just makes the best food. So I think it's just been interesting now to really be isolated and experience a time that you're supposed to not be isolated. And I really respect people that go through Ramadan. I respect the faith, obviously. But I also think it's totally normal to choose not to fast during this time if you think it's like a mental burden, because it's really not the same to do it by yourself. Like, for example, Eid is coming up this week to celebrate the end of Ramadan. And my parents really want us to visit. And it's like a complex thing where it's like, at the very least, they want us all to be together for this one day. But this current climate makes it really hard to even consider like putting my own parents at risk because of how much I want to see them, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. I think it's just a weird time because it's supposed to be a really familial gathering holiday with like yummy food and everything. And it's not that right now.
You know, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it because I was like it was around the time my mom had come back from Iran when it was starting, and I was very distracted because of like my dad getting sick. Like, I feel like not maybe my mom was fasting. She didn't even tell me if she was. Like, we were all just so preoccupied that it didn't. I think it just kind of has slowly swept by us without us realizing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the effect of this time, though. It's really strange. And I think that's what, like, the end of, like, both of our answers kind of illustrate. It's just, like, it's a strange time to go through Ramadan right now. Like, but yeah, I don't know. Should we take a break and then come back?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we'll be right back.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we are back. The next question we're going to do from Katie Bondo. It's from Instagram. She asked, is it okay to wish my students a Ramadan Mubarak if I know they're Muslim? And because this episode's going to come out after Eid and after Ramadan's over, I went ahead and answered her on Instagram. But what I said is I think a notable thing to say is that I 100% think it's like necessary and just like good to question it, but it's definitely okay to wish someone you know is Muslim, someone that you know practices Ramadan Mubarak. Because I remember when I was in school, I always felt kind of that it was so unfair that like other religions and cultures got attention more than being a Muslim, and like I feel like no one even acknowledged that I was fasting, no one even acknowledged that like we had this huge celebration. If anything, my parents took us out of school, we had to miss school for Eid, and it felt like it wasn't taken seriously. So I think if you're a teacher, or if you're a friend, or if you're a person that has a Muslim friend and they're fasting, 100% wish them Ramadan Mubarak. I think it's a really kind thing to do.
Yeah, I mean I think acknowledging people's culture is fine. I have no problem. I mean, like, it's actually kind of nice that you're seeing them in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Katie also asked if we have any top quarantine recipes that we love. Do you?
I've been making, sorry, I dropped my phone. My dad sent me a photo and I was trying to like make it go away and drop my phone in the process. I've been making like a peanut sauce wonder noodle.
Ooh.
Like a Thai food style peanut sauce, like a stir fry wonder noodle dish, which if you guys know what wonder noodles are, they're like, what are wonder noodles? They're like,
shirataki noodles?
Yes, they're shirataki noodles. Nice, the brand is called Wonder Noodles, which is why I kept calling them that. But yes, they're shirataki noodles. I'm still eating low carb. They're like a yam turned into a noodle, if you will.
No, they're pretty good.
Konjac yam. They have like no carbs. It's a very fascinating thing. They're free of gluten, fat, grain, soy. They smell kind of fishy at first, and it takes a while. Like you have to like run them in cold water and then boil them and then cook them like on the stove to get the water out, like kind of like how you would like do a stir fry, but you do that with noodles. And then after you do that, I add like egg and I add like very like shredded pecan, if you will. Not if you will, that's what I do. I have like one of those little like cutter, nut cutter thingies. Mm-hmm. So I do that. Or sometimes I use almond. It just depends what I have on me. And then I have this like low carb peanut sauce. I'm blanking what it's called, what the brand is, because I'm not in my kitchen, so I can't see it. But I use that, like I said, egg, nut. I do chicken sometimes in it if I have chicken on me.
Yeah.
I do spinach, and sometimes I do carrot if I have carrots. It's all very, like, because we're in quarantine, like, whatever I have.
Yeah.
And then
That sounds really good.
You know, I season it, salt, pepper, all that good stuff. I mean, I do that. It's like a quick meal, and it's also, like, low carb. But, I mean, all my recipes are all keto, so that's what I've been making a lot of keto blueberry muffins because I've been very into
that. Yeah, I've been making, I guess, I made this vegan mac and cheese that I really liked. I used like butternut squash for the base, and I had nutritional yeast, and I used red lentil pasta because I wanted some protein. That was really, really good. And when I have bananas that are going ripe, I'll make like a really good green smoothie. I'm just trying my best to be healthy. And like, there are days that I don't align with that. Like there are days that I'm just snacking all day, but I also just try to make sure I have healthy snacks. Like there's this brand that I really, really love. There's like these like healthy chips that are grain free. They're called Siete, and the Fuego flavor. Siete.
That's a good brand. They make a lot of really good tortillas
as well. I really, really like them. And there's a chip that's like a fuego flavor, and it's like fuego. Tastes like a healthy Dorito, like a healthy hot Dorito, and it's like my favorite guilty pleasure snack. It's not like a guilty pleasure, I don't feel guilty eating it. What I mean by that is like when I try to get a snack that's like I know I'm gonna munch on, I try to make it healthy. But yeah, I just try to drink a lot of water. I don't really have like a go-to recipe. I like kind of experimenting, but yeah, there's that. She also asked,
oh wait, real quick, I learned recently after much internet research, because don't we all have the time, the fluffiest scrambled eggs I've ever made.
Ooh, nice.
I use 5 eggs because I'm also feeding my loved one who will starve without me. I'm just joking. He's in his own world. 5 eggs, and then I use a tablespoon of heavy whipping cream in it.
Oh, nice.
Which, again, is kind of a keto thing that, like, normally, like, I wouldn't I would just recommend use milk, you know? But if you're trying to stay low carb, whipping cream is good. And then while I'm, there's a technique where it involves, I mean, maybe you guys all know, it's like the scraping you have to have it on low heat and then scraping the eggs inward until they slowly start to form. And then at the same time, as it's slowly starting to form, adding shredded cheese into it. And then it makes them very, very fluffy, and it's very delicious. And I use a low-carb tortilla, which Mission has come out with low-carb tortillas, which is unreal. Oh, nice. I never thought like such a like mainstream brand would acknowledge low-carb. But yeah, I use that. I put either bacon or hot Italian sausage with avocado and the egg with the cheese and some tapatio sauce, and I make a little breakfast burrito.
Nice.
It's delicious.
Nice. But yeah, okay. Katie also asked, what should Whitey's yours truly start/stop doing to be less insensitive? I mean, maybe just listening more instead of talking. Or I'm kidding.
Or don't give an opinion on something you know nothing about.
That's what I mean by that, is like, instead of being vocal about something that you maybe are confused about, let someone else tell you first. And yeah, there, I mean, this is a very big question. I feel like we can do a whole episode about it, but listening to this podcast is a great place to start, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This next question we got was kind of funny before we started recording. At Joe Jakowski asked, what do you think of the Mizrahi Jews that identify as Israeli? So I'll be honest, did not know much about this topic. I feel like I mentioned them in a episode a while ago, but I looked up what this means, and we essentially gathered that it means that it's if you're a Arab Jew,
or that they're similar to Sephardic, yes, Sephardi Jews. Which I don't know. I don't know enough to comment, really. I mean, if you can, I feel like that's a total personal choice. If you want to identify as Israeli, you should be able to identify as Israeli. Like, it's all very, like, to each their own. But again, like, I don't know a lot about this. And so I have, like, if there's any sort of controversy towards that, I don't know. If you would like to identify as Israeli, like, I actually know a few people who are Arab Jews who identify as Israeli because that's where their family is from, Israel. So yeah, I mean,
that's fair. Yeah. I mean, like, I agree. I think everyone should be entitled to their own beliefs and everything. And I think what was funny for us is that we were both on Wikipedia before this episode started recording.
We were looking at notable Mizrahi Jews, because and that's one what of we them, you always got to go to the notable section.
Yeah, and one of them I already like realized. I was like, oh yeah, Paula Abdul. I feel like I know the Syrian ones. Her dad was Syrian, Syrian Jewish descent. And then Anna scrolled down and she said that she saw that Jerry Seinfeld, his mom, is from Syria.
Just read this is interesting. Whatever. Born in Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. We know that. His father is a Hungarian Jewish descent. His mother, Betty, who's this was very weird to me. His mother's maiden's last name is Hosni. Hosni. Huh. Yeah. Weird. Okay. Hosni, like Hosni. Okay, weird.
Yeah.
And then her parents are Salim and Salha Hosni. And they were Sephardic Jews who immigrated from Aleppo, Syria. And Shireen's father's name is Salim. I don't know. We were both like, what?
That was really cool. I mean, like, I texted my parents as soon as I found out, and my mom was like, yeah, I remember that. I just had no idea. I think that's really cool that he's half Syrian, because I'm just watching Seinfeld for the first time. I'm on season 5. So I'm kind of like in the Seinfeld world right now in particular. I thought that was a fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact. Next question. Layla Abbott asked us, what countries would you like to visit together and individually? Well, I guess I'll start with individually. The country I've always wanted to visit the most is Peru. I've been obsessed with Peru for the longest time. I really want to see Machu Picchu. I really want to take ayahuasca. I mean, that's not the reason why I would go, but I think South America in particular is very beautiful and like underrated as far as like not being that influenced. I just think there's like a certain humanity and like the jungles and everything. I want to be in Peru and I want to be in like the Amazons or whatever. I think South America is a beautiful place. So I would go there. Would also love to see Japan at one point. I want to like see like the countryside of Japan. Those are the two I can think of off the top of my head. Maybe Amsterdam or like, actually no, Japan and Amsterdam. I'm just saying that because everyone else would say it. I think like I want to go somewhere like kind of like remote, but I can't really think off the top of my head. Peru is just my number one. What about you?
By myself, I would go with you either way. It's kind of a weird question because it's like, I would go anywhere with you if you wanted to
go. That's a good point.
Like if you were like, you want to go there? I'd be like, sure, we have some time. Let's go.
Yeah.
With or without Shireen, if she chooses to hop on the plane last minute, I want to go to Croatia. I've never been. Ooh. I would love to check out Croatia just because Dubrovnik and all that looks really beautiful. And like,
that's a good one. Split
looks nice. And I know they have like a lot of waterfalls. And I was supposed to go meet up with a friend a year or two ago. It just didn't work out. I also really want to go to Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Yeah.
The capital. Baku. I want to go to Baku.
Mm.
I would like to go to... I would love to go to Australia. I would also like to go to Monaco. It looks so like over the top and bougie, like just ridiculous.
I want to go to Monaco. And along the same, I thought of Morocco when you said that. I would like to go to Morocco.
I would actually love to go to Morocco.
We should go to
Morocco
together. That's
there we go. We're going to Morocco. Yeah. We should also go to Azerbaijan together.
I would like that a lot. And as you were talking, I realized like I would love to see Iran. Like I would really love to see Iran because
Iran,
it's so
I was
beautiful.
Genuinely thinking. Earlier when I was walking my dog, I was just like remembering funny moments in Iran. And I literally had the thought like, God, I wish I was with my family in Iran.
Yeah.
Just be nice to catch up and joke around. Like,
yeah. I miss Syria a lot. And now that like spring is happening, there are jasmines everywhere. And just like the smell of jasmine will take me right back to Damascus or Hama. And it's just like, it's painful, but it's beautiful at the same time.
All right, but next.
Yeah. Just next.
What if I was that horrible? All right, next question.
Next question. Okay, this was from at L-E-T-H. There are periods in the username, but that's what it looks like it says. She asked, or they asked, what are your views on the show Fauda? And I looked it up because I was pretty sure I mentioned this in an episode, but maybe it was brief. But back in the episode that was dropped September 16th, 2019, episode 112, I mentioned this show. It's basically an Israeli Netflix show. And so if you guys want to hear my take on it back then, feel free to listen to that episode. But I just wanted to emphasize a little bit about like the level of propaganda that shows like this can have. I'm going to link two articles in the notes that you can look at. But one of them is from Haaretz. And the headline is, Fauda isn't just ignorant, dishonest. It's also sadly absurd. It's anti-Palestinian incitement. There's a few quotes from this article. Basically, the writer is listing all the problems he has with the show, and he was saying that every chance they have, the Fauda writers present the Israeli commandos as personally and operationally principled, lingering on their deep concern for protecting the civilians of Gaza, going out of their way to fulfill the promise to the family of the Palestinians who support them. They are never shown shooting or killing any Palestinian women or children. Israelis need to know the unvarnished truth, that their army is responsible for killing civilians and to recognize the chasm between those deaths, the perpetrators, and Fauda's fantasy soldiers. And they quote like from the Israeli military veterans themselves, they have testimonies that basically they were told to shoot anyone in their proximity. Israel's own government ministers, Avigdor Lieberman, who was the then defense minister, he declared in 2018, you have to understand there are no innocent people on the Gaza Strip. So I think like taking that all and like ignoring it in the show is really dangerous. And he goes on to say there's like one plot line where an Arab doctor is trying to kill a Israeli patient, which is like really disgusting that like a show like this can incite like or depict an Arab this way, like depict like a Palestinian. I think it just demeans the Arab citizens in Israel, and it like gives a reason for them to be discriminated against and like have inequality. So there's that take. And then the other article I linked is this woman that she watched this show, and it's her take on it as a Palestinian and how she felt about it. So I think it's a really good take to read about if you're curious. But basically she says, even though it's better than most shows at depicting the conflict, it does not illustrate every perspective. And she quotes one of the creators of Fauda when he was criticized about not giving a Palestinian perspective. He said, "We started an Israeli show that was meant to be seen by Israeli audiences." And I want to end this answer just by saying, I think my answer spoke for itself, but if you guys are interested in a better show that illustrates the conflict better and like has a more balanced point of view, because one of the three filmmakers is Palestinian, I'm talking about Our Boys. And if you guys are listeners of the podcast, I've talked about the show a lot, but it's an HBO show. And because it's made with a Palestinian director and filmmaker, Tawfiq Abu Wael, it's a much better illustration of this conflict, in my opinion. So there's that answer. I know it was long-winded, but I think it's important because propaganda is like alive and well, especially in the entertainment world. So there's that.
Yes. What yeah. Shireen said.
Yeah. Okay. Now this question is for you. This is from Food and Other Adventures. They asked, how are you and your pets holding up? Because I don't have pets.
I mean, I'm okay. Like, my pets are chilling. I think they're, like, my dog is definitely cooped up a little. I think he misses his, like, dog friends. Is that, I mean, like, if that makes sense. Like, he used to go to the office with me every day, and now he does not. And I think he, like, misses his friends, like Andy, Anderson, Sophie's dog, or just, like, any other. Like, you know, when you're walking your dog, normally if another dog walks by and the dogs have expressed interest in coming up to sniff each other, you would be like, oh, my dog's friendly. Is your dog friendly? They're like, yeah, my dog's friendly. And you let him sniff and you're like, oh, you make small talk with the owner. And then you go along your way. You know, with current social distancing rules, we can't really do that. Like, no one wants to get close to anyone, especially when you're dog walking, because I don't wear a mask when I'm walking my dog for the most part, because I don't see anyone in my neighborhood. Like, very rarely do I see people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a dangerous situation where I need to cover my face, but like, I don't know. I think he's bummed. The cats probably don't give a shit because they are inside all the time. I'm sure they're probably weirded out that we're home all the time and don't leave. But like, for the most part, like, they just continue to ignore us or like only bug us when they're hungry.
Yeah. I will say, I kind of wish I had a cat at this point in my life because I love animals. I've never really had a pet of my own because I'm like terrified of responsibility and commitment, but I kind of wish I had a furry thing to cuddle with. So if you guys have pets out there, hold them tight. Let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Okay, Anna, this next question is for you. Jenny Scram on Instagram asked us, Anna, I think I remember hearing your brother was at home with your folks. Is he staying healthy?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He was avoiding my parents for the most part. He hasn't said he hasn't felt, like, he's so weird and secretive. Like, he just kind of keeps to himself. So, like, I mean, not, like, physically, like, I think he doesn't fill me in on his day is what I'm trying to say. It's like he'll text me every once in a while, but it's literally just like about a movie he saw and he's curious if I saw it so he could ask my opinion on it. Like, that's all we talk about. Like, I asked if he was okay and he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I was like, oh, okay. Are you? And then I was like, are you staying away from mom and dad? And he's like, yeah, I am. And I was like, okay, if you're not going to elaborate, I'm not going to keep bugging you. Sounds like you're doing okay. So yeah, I believe he's fine. My parents have said he's fine. Yeah. So luckily, my parents live in a house that's big enough that they can avoid each other if they really need to.
That is lucky. Yeah, for sure. That's definitely, I've realized, like, the privilege of space during this time.
It's and my huge parents, privilege. They got the space. So much so that sometimes they're like, I'm FaceTiming my dad or my mom, and, like, I can see my mom so far off in the distance, like, in the back, and I'm like, what the fuck? How dare you have so much room? I'm sitting here in like a one bedroom apartment, like, oh, it must be nice to have to yell across the house to get your wife's attention. Yeah. You motherfuckers. Really, I'm just like losing my mind.
Sometimes when my sisters and I are FaceTiming our parents, they'll be in different rooms.
Yeah.
I think that's just like a fun experience for us.
Like, so my parents could literally pick up the phone in a different room and talk to you. Like, it's just like they have I guess they have a house line, which is very old person style.
But mine do too.
Well, I mean, yeah, older folk all have, like, house lines still.
Yeah. I think that their generation's the last one that'll have it, though. Okay, we're going to go on to our Facebook questions. Okay, on Facebook, we got asked from Erica Lee Averill. I apologize if I mispronounced your name. She is a beautiful person.
Erica Lee, I believe she's in, I want to say North Carolina.
That's a very good memory.
She's also Zeitgang. I know you're friends with, I took a photo for you once. You're friends with, I just know you from, I've interacted with you on the, she's friends with J. Keith Van Stratton.
That's really cool. She is someone that makes me feel really loved. She'll like send me Facebook messages all the time. She actually sent me a birthday gift. She asked for my address.
Oh, that's nice.
And she made earrings for me. It was so sweet. Nice. I really, really love Erica, but she also asked us a question. So I love you, Erica. And you asked, what are you most proud of? And she, in parentheses, in all caps, she says, you must brag. What am I most proud of? Do you want to take it?
I guess my career, like, coming to LA and like building a career out of nothing is probably the thing I'm most proud of. Okay, you, Shereen.
Okay. I'm most proud of, I mean, like, this is a loaded question, I feel like. but maybe just continuing to be different and not being afraid to not like follow the norm. Because I think it's really easy to think like I'm supposed to be doing something, and it's really hard and kind of like nerve-wracking to constantly like go against the grain. But I'm proud of myself for constantly trying, and I'm proud of myself for being different and like rebellious. So yeah, I'm most proud of myself for kind of being a rebel. And even though maybe it's not obvious to the outside, it's obvious to me. But yeah, that's what I'm most proud of.
Nice.
Okay, also from Facebook, Pam, again, I'm so sorry about mispronouncing these words and this name, but Pam Coetzee Cohn, C-O-Y-N-E, that can go either way.
Coetzee Cohn.
or cognac.
Cognac.
Coyne. Coyne. I'm so sorry.
Maybe it's just Coyne spelled with a Y-N. Oh. Like Coyne. Like, hey, I'm Coyne.
That's a good Coyne. One.
A lot of oins.
Yeah. I have a lot of Coyne. Money. She asked, or I actually don't know if it's a, sorry. They asked. Pam? I don't know.
I think Pam's a woman, but who am I to know?
Why did I think that was like an ambiguous name?
Classic.
I don't know why.
Classic, my brother Pam.
Actually, that's a good point. I've never heard of Pam. I don't know. Pam.
What if it's short for Pamelo, which is the male version of Pamela?
Maybe.
Pamelo.
Pamelo okay, Anthony.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you they. Go. Let's call them they.
They. They asked, how do others deal / cope with racial imposter syndrome? This is also a loaded question. Do you have any answer off the top of your head?
You know, by compartmentalizing. I don't know if I think we're always continuously dealing with it. You always feel a certain way. But I mean, in my case, I just try and not let it get to me. Like, I genuinely have to compartmentalize it and be like, you know what? You feel this way right now, but your work speaks for itself. And you just have to keep like pushing forward because, you know, I never think we're going to have full racial equality in this country because Americans, I mean, I hate to say it, are trash, but, you know, you just have to keep working hard and doing the Lord's work in the sense, I don't know why I brought the Lord in this, but like you have to do the work for your people to be more understood. And hopefully, the thing is with imposter syndrome, I don't think it'll ever go away. Like, no matter what we've been, like, it's almost like systematically instilled in us. So it's very hard, but you just have to keep working towards the goal of equality. I don't know. Yeah. True equality, true feminism.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Imposter syndrome is like something that is just like a personality trait for me at this point. I feel like it just like runs so deep in my veins. It's just like who I am, which is not a good thing. I'm not, I know I'm like self-deprecating and like I try to use that to be funny. But in this case, I think it's when it comes to like being a creative person and being a person of color, it's really hard to feel like you're enough. And the fact that like I rarely, for the first like several years that I made things, that I created art or like made films or wrote poetry, I didn't really mention that I was Arab. I never mentioned that I was Syrian. I definitely wasn't Muslim anymore, so I didn't think I was qualified to talk about it. And that's hard because you want to talk about things that matter to you and you want to be represented, and then you feel like you're not enough to be that representation. But it's like a cliche, but there's like a quote or like there's like a saying that like if there's something missing in the world or if you are looking for something in the world that doesn't exist, you have to make it yourself. And so I think about that all the time. In like my lowest parts of imposter syndrome is like, I need to be the person that I needed when I was a kid. I need to be the person that I need now. I need to represent myself because no one else will do that for me in the current state of the world. And I don't think for a long time. So I think just reminding yourself that you matter and that you're enough just the way you are and that no one can tell your story as good as you can, especially, I mean, this is more like as a creative person, not just like with imposter syndrome, but yeah, I think Anna's right that it never really goes away. And you just have to fucking deal with it on a daily basis. And hopefully you get better with managing it. Because it's really hard to talk yourself out of being mean to yourself. But it's a daily thing. Just try to be kind to yourself, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, there's that. That was kind of all over the place. But yeah.
Sha-la-la-la-la.
Yeah. Okay, I think we can go on to Twitter now. Okay, now these are our Twitter questions.
And they're all dick pics. God damn it, Twitter, not again.
They're not all dick pics, actually, but a lot of them are from one person who is not a dick. Charles Xavier Lacerte?
Lacerte.
It's a great name. He's a very strong name and he's a really good supporter of ours, so thank you so much. He wrote us a couple questions, and the first one he says for the both of you, you're both great interviewers. Who would be the quote impossible guest to get but a dream come true to have as an interviewee for Ethnically Ambiguous? If time / money was not an obstacle, how long would you want that interview to be? Can we talk about what you said earlier today?
Well, okay. So I shot an email to Dennis Rodman's management to try and get him on the show. I would argue he's a dream guest.
Yep.
Do I think it's going to be a tough get? Yes. Here's hoping his management responds. I also realize the timing is not great. The Last Dance just ended. Yeah. A lot of, you know.
He's probably getting a lot of emails.
Yes.
A lot
of emails. He's back in people's zeitgeist, if you will. Yeah. So, hey, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. I would say that's like at the top of my list right now, including just like even just Michael Jordan would be a fucking dream.
Do we really want Jordan, though? Like, he's such an asshole.
I would love to see him interact with someone like people like us. I just want to see that.
He would be like, fuck them kids. And we'd be like, yeah. What are you gonna do? I would love Scottie Pippen. But of course, he's just fresh in my mind. Because I think, truly, I personally think Pippen is one of the most underrated players of his time. Because of the unfortunate overshadow of being Jordan's number two, which is a feat on its own. I'm not saying he's any less than because of that. But that was just the case of which he was playing. And I mean, hey, that's an honor.
Yeah.
Well, legitimately.
Along the same lines of that idea is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I would love to talk to him. My mom told me recently, I mean, like, she always talks about, like, not only were the Lakers, like, their home team because we grew up in LA for a little bit when we were younger, but Kareem was, like, in the Lakers then. And, like, they felt like they were represented by him playing basketball. And he's such an important part of a lot of Arab Americans' lives that I would love to talk to him. Issa Rae would be amazing. Who else? It's Jerry Seinfeld. He's half Syrian.
Okay, we're not getting Seinfeld on here. I mean, okay,
a dream.
Too white. Not enough Syrian. Classically, what's the deal with airline food?
The fact that we both were surprised just like proof that he probably doesn't even really like realize the significance.
He's too rich and white to like ever like acknowledge the brown side of it or have any sort of experience with struggle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No offense. I know I shouldn't whitewash him, but let's be real. He's the whitest.
Yeah, he's white. That was more just like a callback to the joke we made earlier.
Now imagine if his name really was to talk to Jerry Hosny.
Jerry Hosny. He wouldn't be famous. No.
He would be like, I'm changing it to Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly. Those are all the guests I can think of right now. There's like, we have a long list of people that we would love to talk to, and hopefully one day it will happen. But yeah. And then Charles also asked, for Anna more specifically, with so many podcasts that you work on with such a huge range, what days/shows really motivate you to keep going or to make you feel the most proud afterwards?
Good cue. So, I mean, I would argue this show, probably the most.
Oh, really?
The thing you need to understand is all my other shows, I'm like, I am talking about reality TV. I would be like, I'm like, you done did it there, Anna. No, I mean, I do Daily Zeitgeist, which is fine, but like, I'm very Daily Zeitgeisted out by now. Like, I've done it every single, like, we're on like the 630th or so episode. Like, now imagine I've done that every single day for 630 days, like, except for like a week off every, like, a week and a half off every Christmas, basically. I've done it a lot. So mentally, that show is like, I don't think a lot about it. Like, I'm almost like an autopilot when it comes to Daily Zeitgeist. I'm like, got the guest, got this, got that. Yeah. Show's going. All right. Got my footnotes ready. Okay. Oh, yeah. Add where I want to add. Keep it moving. But I mean, this show, like the last episode we dropped was just the two of us. I was very proud of when I was listening back. Before I posted it, I was like, this is a great episode. Like, we really touch on some things that matter to us. Like, it really took me back. Like, I mean, this has always been my baby. Mm-hmm. This show is the one I made because I wanted to make it. You know, like, the reality TV stuff, it's, like, just fucking fun for me. Like, that's almost where I get my, like, kicks in the sense, like, my release. Like, where I'm like, I'm just talking shit about The Bachelor. I'm just talking shit about Below Deck. I'm just letting loose, you know? Like, I'm getting heat because of how loose I'm getting on these shows, you know? I mean, also, like, Ron Burgundy is a great show. I'm glad to have worked on that because it's just it's a great show to have worked on. I mean, I've also worked on a lot of projects that, like, I don't really talk about because it's just, like, part of my day. Like, my day job is just continuously work on podcasts, like, writing for the Chelsea Handler, first season of her podcast, like something I wrote was actually used by Natasha Lyonne. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, I was like,
that's really cool.
Nice. I got a lot of like good feedback from writing on that show that like I was writing well for the voice Chelsea wanted people to write for. So that was, you know, cool. I was like, yeah, nice. At least I know like I can write in a comedic tone for a certain comedian or artist.
Yeah, it's
if really I like validating. Understand their vibe enough. Yeah, I don't know. Guys, it's so hard to have any sense of anything when you're in quarantine.
Yeah, it really is. But I do like that this podcast lets you be fulfilled because it does that for me too. And I feel like I do this with every podcast I'm ever on, even like not this one, but I turn it into a therapy session because I just use podcasts as therapy, which I've realized. But I'm glad that we made this baby together.
Well, you should answer that one too.
No, I mean, I don't. Okay. That's
how dare you?
I think it kind of did. No, okay. I think it kind of did. But like, I still like that. It makes me feel happy that you still feel as happy about the podcast as I do, because it does feel like a little baby that we made and we're like keeping it alive. And I'm proud of that.
We're two women.
Yeah.
Who are raising a baby.
Exactly. There's like a photo of I'm thinking of me, yeah. You and Ace.
Yeah, where we're holding like yeah. a baby, and it's like a lesbian yeah. couple who just adopted their first
exactly.
kid.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then Charles asked, for Shireen, what are the similarities or relations between the mediums you work in? Do you find poetry relates to photography and film, or vice versa? Does podcasting relate to those as well? That's a great question. So poetry was like my first love as a medium. I wrote poetry when I was like a preteen to a teenager, and I still write poetry now. And then I found photography when I got in high school, and I had a camera in my hand as everywhere. When I started taking film photography, I basically lived in my high school's dark room for like the last 2 years of high school. And so I really loved photography and poetry. And then when I fell in love with film, I realized that film was this combination of both of those things. It was poetry and photography combined. And I think that's why a lot of my work is more like slow and kind of subtle and maybe dreamlike. I would love for someone to describe my work as subtle or like surreal and dreamlike, because for me, the combination of poetry and photography is filmmaking, or like is my style. So they really all relate to me, and they're all just methods that I can express myself in. Podcasting is something that I thought was separate for the longest time. I really didn't think it was an expressive creative avenue for the longest time. I thought it was more diligent and like fact-based. And it took me maybe like a year to realize that maybe I think it was around the time we started getting more personal on the podcast, or maybe just like letting our guard down. Maybe it was just me, but I feel like a big part of the podcast was me censoring myself or thinking I had to do everything right and being really disappointed in myself for not performing well or whatever. But as I said, like I treat podcasts as therapy at this point. But I do think like Jamie Loftus really inspires me to use podcasting and like the medium in a really creative way. Like I thought her My Year in Mensa podcast was like exquisite use of the medium. I loved it so much. So I think in the future, I would love to make projects like that, that utilize the medium in a way that like I can tell a story the same way I would tell a story with a film camera or with a poem or whatever. So it's taken me a while to realize they're all related, but I think they are. I hope that answered that question well. I feel like I could ramble about that forever. But thank you, Charles, for asking those really great questions. And then we'll end this episode with one last question, short and sweet, from Official Dickhead on Twitter. That is the handle. Official Dickhead at Abstrussel. I'm sorry. They asked, in response to our solo episode that was dropped today, they ask, can we have one of these once a month or once a quarter or something? And my answer to that is maybe. I think it's a good idea.
I do want to acknowledge Official Dickhead came at me for talking about my dad's diarrhea so much. And you know what, Official Dickhead? If you want an episode,
with just us two once a month, you're going to have to hear a lot more about my papa's diarrhea, baby, because that's all I got. You know what? My dad had a nice breakfast today. He texted it to me. I don't know why. I don't know why he was trying to flex on me for some reason. I was like, yeah, great. And he's like, you should have a great breakfast every day. Hey, who knows? Maybe that'll transpire in some diarrhea. Okay? Big breakfast, official big dickhead. Breakfast.
kidding. But
I'm not kidding. So
I mean, she's not kidding. I'm just trying to. But I think it's a good idea. I think like revisiting each other solo once a month or even once a quarter, as the official dickhead mentioned.
Depends if everyone ignores our booking emails.
That's a good point.
What can you do?
But I think this is a good format too. Maybe in the future we'll do another one of these. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you guys enjoyed this Q&A format that we're trying out, let us know. Maybe we'll implement it in the future.
Yeah, leave a 5-star review, baby.
Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know on Twitter if you enjoyed the episode, or like if you guys have any ideas or suggestions or whatever. I'd love to hear them. But yeah, we appreciate you. Leave us a 5-star review again.
5 stars
and no less. Yeah, 5 stars, no fucking less. And
Ace is ignoring me. I'm trying to get him to come say goodbye. Well, whatever. Wait, my dog's here.
Before we go, because we did this last time, and because the next one is going to have a guest and there won't be a review, we got, on March 21st, we got a review on Facebook. So if you don't have iTunes or ability to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, you can still rate and review us on Facebook, like our page. And right now we have 5 out of 5 stars based on the opinion of 30 people, which is great.
Hell yeah.
Let's get that number up. But I want to read this review and then we'll sign off. It's from Sierra Marie Gabriella, I cannot say your last name, I'm so sorry. Katianen. I am very sorry, Sierra, but I can say that one. Sierra Marie. She says, I love this podcast. Anna and Shireen are hilarious and explain news in a really interesting and funny way. I'm currently only on episode 5, but I plan on binge listening to this until I'm all caught up. If you want to learn more about Middle Eastern politics, culture, history from two very smart and funny women, this podcast is the place to start. Isn't that lovely?
Episode 5. Man, you have like a world to get through. That's pretty amazing. Like, and then you're going to get to this one in 10 years.
That's true. She finally hears her shout out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really appreciated that review and it's thoughtful, and I would love it if we got more and we can end episodes in this way all the time. So yeah, this is Ethnically Ambiguous. We're Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, it's Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter. So thank you for listening. Shireen, are you going to bite that ass?
I will bite that ass. Bye!
Bye. Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.